Hello and welcome to Love, Death and PMS, a podcast channel that's not just for women, but anybody that can relate to love, life, work, and all of the emotional baggage that comes with it. My name is Lucy Blackley, and I'm the founder and director of Bombix PLM, a product lifecycle management software system that cuts out the bullshit and enables people to get on with the job. In this week's two-parter episode, I'm joined by Mark Harrop of Which PLM. Mark and I will be discussing PLM in general, innovation, disruption, and education. The conversation Mark and I had got pretty lengthy, so we've split this episode into two parts. This is episode part two of two. Fashion is about being individual. You know, it's about expressing yourself. Yeah. It's not about, you know, as much as there's trends and people sign onto them, it's about giving your own take on something. So all these options and what people want, it is getting more and more. You know, years ago, people with brightly colored hair were like usually alternatives, goths, moshers, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. Nowadays, that's a trend. So years ago, those people got bullied for that bright colored hair or whatever. And nowadays, it's the trend. And people are aware now that individuality is cool and you can do your own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And on that one, you know, because you can't... There's my son graduating. There's his girlfriend. Look at that.
Bright blue hair.
Yeah,
it looks fantastic.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool. And that's what it is. It's being okay to do that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take as many guts now, because more people are saying, you know, we've had enough of the status quo. We want to be ourselves and we can be ourselves. And fashion should be, you know, fashion is becoming more inclusive and saying, yeah, you can do that. Let's help you. So all these ways, it does intertwine with, you know, our systems and, you know, the industry itself, where we're saying, okay, it is going to get more complex. So let's sign on to a PLM. Mm. Let's streamline processes and let's allow you to sleep at night coming back into the job you love.
Yeah.
But why? Go on,
sorry. I have a question for you.
Yeah?
One of the things I'm excited about, it just came to me over time, over the last few months, and I just sort of realized something. The penny dropped. And I thought, you know what? The new technology I'm talking about right now is actually enabling sustainability.
Yeah.
Whereas if I go back to PDM and PLM, what we did, we automated a process and we made it faster and we made it easier to work offshore.
Yeah.
Right? Because when I was, you know, in the 70s, all the factories were here.
Yeah.
Here in Manchester. And then we moved offshore, and what did we have to do now? We have to communicate with these guys, we have to collaborate, and we have to do it in the smartest way. Hence, PDM. And then eventually PLM.
Yeah.
So that we've got this smooth communication. But what that did, it enabled speed, it enabled lower cost, it enabled all the things actually that you could say today are the bad things. You know, cheaper clothing, faster, cheaper, and some of it ending up in landfill.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what I've seen this last 12 months that's really hit me is the technology I'm talking about now, whether it's 3D, 3D.
Yeah.
Let's take that. 3D.
Yeah.
Instead of three iterations, sample iterations.
Yeah.
We can now get one.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Sustainability, carbon footprint reduced. Yeah. That's one little thing.
Yeah.
Digital printing.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, I got involved in digital printing in the 90s, and I paid £250,000 to use a stock printer.
Yeah.
And ran it as a bureau service. Giving people meter squares. So they bought several meters and made the sample, and it was 24 hours. And we called it the 24-hour sample. Today, we can do 2,000 meters a minute.
Yeah.
An hour, I beg your pardon. Every hour. Whether it's Coinit, whether it's SPG, whether it's EFI, with the Bolt, with these new printers that are enabling fast fashion.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're not using water.
Yeah.
So they're not polluting the rivers of the countries where that's printed, and so on. So that's a fabulous enabler. So what I'm saying is, not only is technology now making the job more interesting, helping the consumer to have more choice, but it's also smarter,
absolutely,
it's more improved. Blockchain.
Yeah.
I now know that Kashmir comes out of Kashmir.
Yeah.
Not Kashmir coming out of somewhere else.
Yeah.
Somewhere else in mainland China.
Yeah.
But it's coming from Kashmir because I've got the blockchain, I've got the digital certificate.
Yeah.
I can follow it through. So there are so much of this technology is not just about efficiency. So we need to say, all of us, we need to talk to the retailers and the brands and say to them, it's not, yes, it will make you more efficient. Yes, it will save you money. But guess what? You're also, instead of being chased by legislation and governments and stuff, we're going to penalize you, they're going to tax the hell out of your product for filling the land. This is the smarter way.
Yeah.
Get involved in technology and actually, at the same time, create sustainability.
The records naturally come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, you know, so you've got sustainability, because I'm always talking about this, you know.
Circular.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, we've got people that are like, oh yeah, you know, the fashion, it's the second worst industry in the world for pollution, etc. Yeah. And, you know, but we've got these things in place to help things, you know. I love fashion. It's all I know from about the age of 13. I started pattern cutting, making my own clothes, and I just fell in love with it. It was a creative release. So I've always liked it, you know, but I'm also interested in the environment. And, you know, by creating technologies such as PLM, you know, we are helping that. You know, we're not just helping the consumer, giving more choice. We're helping that person that's creating the product with their well-being and their efficiency and actually getting them to do the job that they love. But we're also adding to the help of the environment. It's a win-win for everything.
And today it's massive.
Yeah.
I mean, you take that, I talked about digital printing. You can see that, rolls of fabric going from bleach or greige to a print.
Yeah.
Okay. You only print what you need.
Yeah.
So we can literally get down to the made to measure for that single person.
Absolutely.
Or we could do mass customization and make 10s and 20s and so on. But beyond that, right now, today, and I've touched on it earlier, but I want to touch on it again because this for me is true revolution. Just imagine a factory with pure white thread, bleach thread, and then based on the orders coming through, we know in advance. Start dyeing that thread now.
Yeah.
2 hours later, that's dyed to match, and the machinists have got it on the machine. They start sewing.
Yeah.
And they only sew what they need.
Yeah.
For the 10 garments.
Yeah.
Not a bobbin of thread that's going to sit on the wall for the next 10 years, because that's what happens in the factories.
Yeah.
And all the chemicals and pollutants and that go into that. Now it's cool. Yeah. Not only is it fast, it's smart, but it's also sustainable.
Yeah. The investment itself, you know, in, I think I like the long game about everything.
Yeah.
I think, you know, these short-term solutions just to get a quick buck or whatever, it doesn't work. Investing in this, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be financially, you know, profitable with the future of technology, but you're also going to be, you know, that you're not just rich financially as a business, but you're also rich here because you're doing your part.
That's exactly what I mean. So you do your part for your staff.
Yeah.
You're doing part for your shareholders.
Yeah.
You're doing part, even though it's not you,
yeah,
but the technology actually creates sustainability.
Yeah.
Because you're really looking at it. Brand and retail, if they're honest, they're looking about efficiency and price.
Yeah, of course
if
they are.
If we can give them the ability to buy 50 garments instead of a minimum quantity of 500 garments, get superior quality for that particular product at the right time. And they've also helped the you know, the world in, from a sustainability point of view. I'm happy for them to go off and put that on the all the marketing spiel.
Yeah.
And go and wave that flag.
Yeah.
Even though that's not what's actually behind it.
Yeah.
It's still profitability. Yeah. But it is. It's this circular economy. It's getting really cool.
Yeah, I want to cover, like, you know, I wrote an article for you guys last week, and, you know, I've been writing for you guys for a couple of years now, and it's a great honor of mine. It's something I really look forward to. I love the collaboration with Lydia, you know, and, you know, we do go back and forth a few times, and I'm like, you know, and I always ask opinion. What do you think of this? It's super important that anybody that kind of collaborates with me, that everyone's input is completely valid. But my latest article was on education. And it's a big thing for me because I believe that they are our future.
Yeah.
But and you know, and a lot of lecturers have come to me and said, I loved your article. Yeah. It resonates with me.
I loved your article and I put some comments on
it. Yeah, I loved it. And it was so nice, you know, because I love to hear from you. I know you're super busy and it just, you know, for me, that was enough that you liked it. You know,
because it hit me, you know, it's right.
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, my I mean, I worry. I've got this imposter syndrome that I talk about sometimes where I'm like, everyone's talking really technical on their articles and then I come in and I talk about a lot of feeling and how I feel about things. But, you know, and then I kind of, you know, I'll go back to Lydia and say, is this okay? And this and that. She's like, okay, what about this? What about that? And it's a true collaboration, but I still stand by the idea that I lead with feeling because it's super important. And I think you can get a lot of stuff out of that. But a lot of these lecturers, they're stuck because they don't have the money, despite the courses being so high, to teach these kids anything but what the industry was years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that are coming into the industry now from university, they don't know about the industry in its true form.
They haven't got a clue. Yeah. They haven't got a clue. You know, I speak all over the world in brand retailers and I also do my bit for the universities and I go all over. And when you're doing this trip around the world several times, you pick up friends.
Yeah.
You know, you make great friends and you stay friends. And some of the lecturers that are in the Which PLM community, I feel for them because they want to they work so hard for that next generation of students, right?
Long hours,
but also in their own time, they will, you know, they'll come to me, they'll ask for favors, they will learn something. I'll introduce them to a software vendor, I get the two of them together, they accredit themselves, you know, get accreditation training and so on, and then they apply it to students. You see the student smiles, they're learning something that is relevant now, not something that was 20 years ago, which is, I'm going to say it, it's the 80-20 rule. Yeah. 80% of what they're coming out knowledge was the past.
Yeah.
You know, it's about what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I feel for those lecturers who are really focused and keen on this. And it's not just because I'm, you know, a fanatic on technology for the industry, but these are tools.
Yeah.
These are tools. This phone, you know, today is a 3D scanner.
Yeah.
May not be the best 3D scanner, but it's a 3D body scanner.
Yeah.
Right? It's also, as you say, it's a very powerful computer. Mm-hmm. In the next year or two, with 5G, it will be a 3D virtual reality, augmented reality will be coming out of these devices. So those lecturers were keen on that. I tell you what I always find. I always find they're stressed out of their heads because they answer to people more senior in the university. These guys are not interested.
Yeah.
They're the old school.
Yeah.
They're the old school. And I'm sorry, and I'll say it bluntly, they are in that era. They're lost.
They're dinosaurs.
They are dinosaurs, and they don't give them the tools.
Yeah.
They'll spend it elsewhere. I've had them coming to me saying, you know, we're really struggling. Can you help us on software and so on and so forth? And I have done.
Yeah.
And then I've said, where are you going now? Oh, we're off back to London. Oh, fine. Funny enough, I'm going back to London. I'll give you a trip to the train station.
Yeah.
I get to the train station. I jump on the train, standard class. They say, oh, sorry, we're in first class.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Where's the money going? Yeah, absolutely.
Is it going directly on those students who are paying the 9,000, the 9,250? When I get a student coming to me, and I've had 70 students on placement. Mm-hmm. So I feel I've done my bit. And every single time I would say to them, show me how to grade a pattern.
Yeah.
Leave them in a room, come back half an hour later, because I knew the answer. They hadn't done anything.
No.
And they'd look at me frightened to death.
Absolutely.
And I'd say, well, I thought you were going to just put a 2-inch grade on this. Well, we only got a couple of days in the entire three years.
Sometimes even a few hours.
You know, nothing.
Yeah.
Why? Well, the room's locked up. You can't go in it. Yeah. You can't go on it.
Yeah.
You know, we've only got one between the entire year. And it's those things that are repeating themselves over and over and over again.
I mean, I've, you know, I I lived for my course. I went to Manchester originally, mm-hmm. didn't feel inspired, didn't feel like I was learning much, quit. I mean, I had some life problems at the time as well, but I knew that I still wanted to continue. I'm incredibly ambitious. And, you know, I went to Birmingham City University and I did the garment technology course. And yep. you'll know Sheila Griffiths.
Yep.
She was my tutor and she's a friend now and I'm in touch. I'm going to go see her in a couple of weeks. To me, she's the best of the best. She supported me nonstop. I was texting her at midnight, you know, with my imposter syndrome then. Everyone suffers from imposter syndrome to some extent. I can't do this, you know. And when I look back and I look at the, like, because I created a grading manual, I created all these books for my modules.
Yes.
And I look back and I'm like, why was I so worried? Because the information in there
is good. Yeah.
But it depends on who is your tutor as well. Sheila worked effortlessly for her students. And, yeah. you know, she's the leader of the course now. And but, you know, it's you're not always going to be so lucky with that. But at the same time, a lot of students, some of them, they feel like they're buying their degree and they don't think that, you know, because it's so expensive, they think, oh, I'm just going to get that degree. But actually, you've really got to work hard for it if you really want to make your stamp in the industry. Yep. And I had my first graduate intern a few weeks ago. And, you know, we spoke a lot about how can you get experience without experience. I was like, come down. You know, she found me on the internet and she was like, she said, I've never done this, but can I speak to you? I said, yeah, sure. Here's my number. Give me a call later. And we spoke and, you know, she was like, how can I get experience? I was like, come and see me. I said, I've got shit tons to do. I've got absolutely loads. You know, I literally don't have enough time in the day. Yeah. Let me come and, you know, and we didn't just work. We went out in the evening and I showed her some things that I do because it's about taking the time off as well.
Yeah, of course.
You know, enjoying yourself in work and then leaving work and continuing to enjoy yourself. But the thing with education is, you know, she was complaining about it and so many people complained to me about it and I just didn't know what to do. So this is why I kind of was like, okay, enough's enough and I've got to change something. And this is why we're going to give PLM to the universities for free. And we just, you know,
fantastic.
We teach it. It's super important. It is our future. And, you know, these people, like a lot of students, they have no idea what PLM is. Some don't even know what a tech pack is.
Yeah.
Or a lab dip, you know, how do you not know this stuff? This is basic industry stuff and they still don't know it. And it's a real shame.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you know, the future is technology and we need to be implementing that. But, you know, I don't know how else we can do it other than, you know, us all, like you helping students, myself helping students. It's a collective of people that we really need to work together.
That's, you know, my message to the students these days is go to Which PLM.
Yeah.
And I'm not just selling my Which PLM.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
Everything is free
of
charge.
Completely free.
And it's thousands and thousands of articles and reports and stuff. It is amazing, but we've got a lot of work still to do to let them know it's there.
Yeah.
Because if they don't know it's there, they're never going to get to it. But that's one of my missions in life was to create a learning environment that was free.
Yeah.
Because I was tired of seeing things online where, you know, they give you a
snippet,
carrot.
Yeah.
And then you want to read more, you've got to sign up and pay this.
Yeah.
Well, how can a student pay that?
They're paying $9,000 a year.
Exactly. Yeah. Can they then? They need this report because it's something they're going to end up in the dissertation or whatever, and it would be ideal for them. But no, so that's why everything.
Yeah.
All sorts of learning and the academy.
Yeah.
Which PLM Academy.
Yeah.
Takes those students through all those courses, and that's been free for the students forever. But back to, you know, students in general, and the lecturers and the students, there are some amazing lecturers on a global level. As I said in my note to you when you'd written your article, I didn't just want to show the negative side of what was going on
Absolutely.
In the universities, but the positive as well, because there's some, as I said, amazing lecturers all over the world that I'm involved in. And they are the cream, and they need a special thank you for what they do
Absolutely.
For their students, right? And I just haven't got time to name every one of them,
but
I won't because I'll feel that I'll leave somebody out now.
Yeah,
guilty.
Yeah.
So for every one of them listening to this, they know who they are.
Yeah.
They know who they are, and we have an amazing community. But the senior people in their universities.
Yeah.
Sorry they let me down.
Mm.
They let me down.
Yeah.
They let the industry down. They're after the glory, they're after the big, you know, it's always, I don't know, some pop star comes in and gets some honorary degree or some whatever. And I think, what have you been doing for the industry for the last 40 years?
Yeah, yeah. What do you know about the
industry?
Zilch. Yeah.
Zilch. But because I've got a brand, I'm famous, and my, you know, my daughter's now whatever. It's...
Yeah. I mean, for me...
It just seems a bit, you know, unfair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, like, all the articles that I've written for you guys, you know, I do... I always think, oh, am I complaining a bit? And I am probably complaining in every article some way. And I always put, like, you know, I've complained about PLM in the past, but I always say it's not every PLM company. You know, it's not every lecturer. It's not every university. It's because it is. You're complaining about something, but people need to know that you are not complaining at everything, but you're just saying, this is here and this is happening.
You know, having read that particular one, and it's fresh in my mind because it's only a few weeks ago, that's not a complaint. That's just putting it on record.
Yeah.
That we have a problem. And if we don't talk about a problem, we're never going to solve something.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you raised it.
Yeah.
And I saw the number of hits that it's had. And it is now running into the many hundreds.
Yeah.
If not top to 1,000.
Yeah.
Already people that have read it. So, you know, carry on doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a few messages.
Have a good, nice mix.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I've had a few messages, and it's, as you said, it's not every lecturer, and, you know, there are some that you feel letting down the industry, and there's not, and I said just back then that, you know, Sheila, I said she works effortlessly, I meant tirelessly, to get people what they want. She also seems to work effortlessly, it seems like it's just within her blood, you know, she's a super hard worker, but, you know, it's not every single lecturer, it's not every single PLM company, it's not every reading, whatever we're creating awareness about, it's just saying, that we want to improve things.
And don't you also think that, again, the students, if students care and listen and work hard and show their interest, then that lecturer will walk over hot coals for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But if they are there, sat in a lecture, you know, doing Instagram messages, Twitter with the mates, whatever, and they're not interested, then, they're not going to get
Do you think, because a lot of people still don't know what they want to do in when they get to university and they feel they have to go to university. You don't always have to go to university. But, you know, for me, but I'm for me now, like, you know, a couple of decades on from when you was doing it, I had to go to university because I needed to learn about garment technology. That's what I thought I needed to do. And it worked for me, but not everyone does. But some people, because they like fashion, they don't know what they like about fashion. They just know that they love clothes or they love design or whatever.
Yeah.
They come in, they just sign up for these courses, but the courses also sometimes aren't built to teach. They're too general. And you need to be a bit more specific so that people understand, like, have a taste of course, you know, do a little bit of this, a little bit of this, find your what you love and what you're good at, and then going to a more specified course. And I think that would be the future of fashion courses. And, you know, there are some out there.
Hey, what about another one? What about, you know, I want to get in fashion, but I don't know exactly what I want to do. Do I want to be a buyer? Do I want to be a merchandiser? Do I want to own my own brand?
Yeah.
Actually, do I want to be involved in technology? That supports fashion.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, artificial intelligence, blockchain, 3D, these are incredibly exciting stuff. Some of the game people, you know, programming games are moving over to fashion. So I'm about as well that not only do we get this is the buyer's role, this is the merchandiser's role, this is a garment tech, this is quality assurance, whatever it is, whatever those roles are, and the management level. But what about technology?
Yeah.
What about going into that industry, but through fashion?
Yeah.
Because that's, in a way, me.
Yeah.
You know, I came through the mill,
11
years in the factory, moved across to technology, and have now spent 30-something years in tech.
Yeah.
And I love it, absolutely. Born for it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have got it unless... You know, I went that direction.
Yeah, similar to
university
myself.
University should be also. Yeah, you're the perfect example of that.
Yeah, I mean, I got frustrated with the industry. I had PLM systems that didn't work for me. They were bugged to death. They weren't created by people within the product industry. And if they were, it was too many people. I want this delete button here. I want this delete button there. I want this and that. And it just doesn't work. And so I was like, I'm going to do something better. I'm going to include everyone. Like, you know, I'm going to ask people, but I'm going to build it from based on the feedback and make it a versatile system.
Yeah.
So we've had quite a similar path from fashion into technology. And this is it. I mean, this the intern that I had a couple of weeks ago, you know, and she's on last week's podcast. She went into fashion PR, and she didn't know why. And she was like, I don't know why I've done it. A few years later, or whenever it was, I can't remember specifically, but she went into garment tech. And I asked her, did you make a mistake? She went, no, because it taught me what, you know, what I needed to do to get to, and it, I found my love. But, you know, a lot of people are just signing up because they feel the pressure they have to. That's a lot of money for pressure, and it's just not worth it. You know, 9,000 a year. A lot of people, you
and
know.
And it's not 9,000 a year.
No, it's more.
It's 9,000 a year for the ticket to get into the university.
Absolutely.
And then it's the loan, the student loan, the 6% on the student loan.
Oh, yeah, it's
your
much
rent.
More. Yeah.
You know, £600 a month for a typical bed sit somewhere,
the
or
book
your shared
list
house.
That you have to buy. Those books are expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and I've still got them at home. I won't part with them. You know, it's part of my history and what. And I look back and I go, oh God, you know. Cause sometimes I look back at what I've done and I'm like, you know, I feel like, oh, I haven't done so much or this and that. Again, imposter syndrome. It's super relevant in our industry because a lot of us have it because, you know, there's so much going on all the time and you just want to do the best you can. Yeah. But you look back and you're like, shit, actually, there's so much of my life here and how I've got on. And you look back and you reflect and you're happy with it. But this girl, you know, she went into garment tech, but she started not being sure. Those first couple of years, that was an expensive not being sure. And we should be creating something to get people into something where they know what they love so that they're not wasting all that money because it's so much money for people.
Yeah. I tell you one thing, moving off slightly and onto another subject. I think we're just arriving truly at local for local. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think there are a few things, technology enablers that are making it available, whether that's, you know, an e-commerce site that's affordable to a new startup, new brand, or an existing brand, wholesaler who wants to do some things, and then the machinery. And I've been having this conversation in the last couple of days. When you think we have now got seamless knitting machines for leisure wear, we've got seamless knitting machines for incredible dresses and gowns that, just need very little but the label putting in. So all garment knitting, we have the printing of one garment, we have the dyeing of the thread I just mentioned, we have the micro factories that are coming in with the CAD and the cutters, you know, integrated. So you've got the print, you've got the CAD, you've got the printer, you've got the cutter, so it's like short little footprint. And what's coming out the other end is made to measure or you know, on a mass or single. We talk about it a lot, people write about it a lot, but of course we've got to get something going, and I think we have been doing for maybe the last 5 years or so, and that's my guess, but for the last 5 years we've been saying this is coming, but more and more and more, and now the technology is there. It really, really is. I can get you a batch of technology that you know you could package together, and you've got this microfactory with 3D and design and, you know, the
I
works.
Mean, people don't realize what's out there. Even like PLM, it's still, it's definitely growing and it's definitely available. You know, and it used to be for, like, it used to feel like, well, it was for massive corporations because it was expensive, and it's becoming more affordable. And it's now allowing
people
startups.
Like you guys have made that happen.
And it's so
simplify
important.
Simplify it and keep
I think
it
it's believing that fashion and technology, it should be inclusive. I'm all for inclusivity on anything. And, you know, to get these, you know, we know what's happening to the retail structure. It's going for a rebirth at the minute. And these startups and these more small independent brands are coming through. Why shouldn't they be able to attack the market in a quicker, more streamlined way, just like the bigger companies are? And this is why we're making it more affordable, and it's super important.
In the past, if you think about it, 20 years ago, you'd wake up and you'd say to yourself, you know, you wanted to be the next big tier zero. You know, the next big Nike or Adidas or whoever. And it was a pipe dream. Because you needed tens of millions. In order to get something started. Never mind whether you would succeed or not. What's incredible today, where we are right now, you can get things going
really quickly.
Really quickly, really affordable. This multi-tenancy platforms where you download and use,
yep.
pay for the month, put it back if you're not using it. That's real. That's
yep.
here today. I mean, these printers, they're expensive that yep. I'm talking about. But maybe somebody's going to be smart enough to set up a bureau service somewhere.
This is what's going to happen. I mean, yeah. it's like anything, like, you know, phones originally were more expensive, PLM was more expensive.
Yeah.
Things as time goes on, it becomes more affordable and it enters kind of like a mainstream market where people know that they can pick it up and they yeah. can afford it. And looking, once they can afford it, knowing that there's people out there, like some PLM systems, like 3D systems, that do want to help and they do want yeah. to create something better within the industry.
Let me again go back in history and tell you something. So when I came back from that trip to America mm-hmm. and I saw these new systems, CAD, yeah. colored graphics and so on, you can imagine then they were very expensive.
Yeah.
So what is now an Adobe Illustrator license?
Yeah.
At $40 for a month?
Yeah.
Was £250,000.
Absolutely, this
right?
is it.
£250,000.
Yeah.
That's my one of my first sales that I made when I brought it back. But when I brought it back, what I did then is I set up a bureau service in Manchester. And I hired a girl, and then two girls, and then a couple of guys. And before you know it, after a year or two,
yeah.
I had 11 staff all doing work on behalf of the retailers and brands up and down the UK. And some work was done on the continent for French mm-hmm. and Belgians and so on. And we're doing all this, these little bits of work. And people were paying. You know, it was always continuous work.
Yeah.
And over the year, it built up.
Yeah.
To the point, it hit a certain point where they said, you know what, Mark? We can't do this anymore. We mm-hmm. need to buy the system. So they were investing so much and finding so much benefit that they went from using it on a piece basis mm-hmm. to then purchasing the equipment.
Yeah.
And that's how then CAD systems took off.
Yeah.
And then they took off.
Yeah.
And off we were going.
It's looking at the bigger picture,
yeah.
you know, and looking into the future. Like, one of my clients, when they first started, they were actually starting to build their own internal system,
yeah.
and they realized the complexities of it, how expensive it is just for them to use it. And then they didn't realize that, then they found us and was like, this is really affordable for us. And you know, there was like, now I've got time to actually concentrate on my product. And this is what it's about. It's the same within the industry, where the people that are working on the product, they've got time to work on the product and the innovation of the product.
Yeah, they've got that time back.
Yeah, and this is what it's about. It's definitely, that's the future. It's all about the long game for me. And it's also people looking at the bigger picture. It's great to be in the here and now, but you know, I think you should be looking ahead to make sure that you don't lose out and you don't miss out. Right, okay. Well, we'll end here, and should we go get some lunch?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
been really good. Yeah, okay, let's go get some lunch. We hope you enjoyed both parts 1 and 2, and that you'll be joining us next time, where I'll be speaking to Jenny Harrison of Eskimo Soup. We're currently on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please do give us a follow, a like, and a share. And if you are in the product design industry, please do check out Bombix PLM. Thank you. Goodbye.